Did you get a lift? Did you get a tuck? You look like you're losing weight. Y'all looking good. You know, that's exactly the verse I found in the Bible, in the Message Bible. We've been reading 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But I looked it up in the Message Bible. How many of you are wearing socks? Okay, how many of you are not wearing socks? Look at all of you with no socks on. Okay, those of you with socks, get ready. You're going to have them knocked off. Are you ready? This scripture is so cool. Good thing you came. You should, probably shouldn't come to church with socks on, because God just knocks your socks off every Sunday, doesn't he? You got to put that scripture up. Do you have it there back in the back there? Listen to this. This is crazy. Then suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. You know what? I'm like in love with that. Do you know how many people today went to a place, what they call worship, and worshiped a piece of chiseled stone? The mouth can't even open. It can't talk. It doesn't move. It just stands there. And they walk by and they worship it, or they touch it. They think that there's something in that stone. But that's not what we've come to do. We've come to worship a God that's living. He's a personal presence. He's here right now. He's here among us. He said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Somebody needs to say, welcome, Jesus. You know, that's the reality of it all. Jesus is right here with us. He said, and when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. Religion, it's obsolete. We're free of it. We are totally, totally, and completely free of it. I've got some more that I have to read. It tells us this: nothing between us and our God. Our faces are shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful. That's why you all look so good this morning. You've been hanging out with Jesus, huh? There's no tummy tucker lifts. You're not on a diet. You've been with Jesus. And that's what it says in the Message Bible, that when you're with Jesus, you gradually become brighter and more beautiful. So look at somebody this morning and say, hey, beautiful. Now, wait a minute. Don't get sassy now. This is not a place to hit on a young woman, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Boy, I wish we didn't have this pillar here. It'd be nice to get this moved. Someday, maybe that's what will happen. But until Jesus comes, we're not going to worry about that, right? After he comes, we won't need that pillar. Yeah, so sorry about those of you that are sitting behind it. But we've got a TV working. You know what happened? The roof was leaking and water was coming in. And we told our landlord, I said, the roof is leaking. The water's not supposed to be in the building. We didn't pay for that. In our lease, we did not ask for water. Water's supposed to stay outside. But you know what happened? It filled up that pillar and went down, and it filled up the television. And the guys had to take it down. Right, Matt? You took it down last week, and you turned it over and emptied all the water out of it. But how many know, thank God, it's working this morning? That's a good thing, right? It's working. Is it still working? Okay, it's working. Great. Whoa, man. That is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, he said, you know, when they called me, he said, Pastor, the television in the sanctuary is filled with water. We had to take it down. I said, oh, that's not good, is it? No, it doesn't come with water when you buy it. That was a freebie. That was extra. How many have a Bible this morning? Let me see it. Right, hold it up. If you brought a Bible, look at y'all. Come on, wave them, wave them. The devil gets nervous when you wave your word around. He even gets more nervous when you open it and read it. You know, I was watching the news the other day, and I don't know what the context of the report was, but it was about somebody who was talking about this one person's bad behavior and the trouble that they were getting in. And the mother was trying to defend her. She said, well, she was raised in church, and they showed her with a Bible and all of that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said this: being raised in church won't make a difference. You got to be raised in the Word. You got to be a Word woman and a Word man. That's right. If you're raised in the Word, you don't even have to be in a church. Because you could be in a church and never be in the Word. But boy, if you could put church and the Word together, you've got the best of both worlds. Amen? So that's what we're about to do, is get into the Word of God. So I think before we do anything, we ought to thank God that He has given us the written Word. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God this morning. We pray for revelation. We pray for illumination. We pray that our hearts would be receptive to the Word of God. We pray that it would go down deep, find good soil, that it would not be snatched away, O God, immediately, that it would not be choked out by the cares of life, but, Father, it would manifest 30, 60, and 100-fold results. Lots of fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, when I said, hey, beautiful, I please don't misinterpret me. Sometimes I get myself in trouble. And people write me letters and email me and Facebook me, and they say, Pastor, you shouldn't tell people to tell somebody in church, hey, beautiful. But see, that's where your mind is. That's not where my mind is. Did you ever have anybody impose their thinking on you? And they think that you're thinking what they're thinking, but guess what? Your thinking is thinking, and I wasn't thinking that. I was just trying to read the Message Bible in 2 Corinthians 3:17, that we're getting more beautiful and we are becoming brighter every day. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. How? Day by day. Day by day. Just think, tomorrow is going to be even better than today. That's why we have great hope as a believer. Man, I'm excited about the Word. Glory to God. Hey, we've been talking about David. Remember last week, we said that David tried to bring the presence of God into the Jerusalem. And he was trying to do the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. And he was really frustrated and upset because Uzzah, his best friend, bam, God killed him right there on the spot. And David was despairing over the fact, well, then how can you bring the presence of God into a life? How can you bring the presence of God into a family? See, I really believe that this is a time when we've got to move on. Moving on from where we've been. Moving on. I don't care how long you've been serving God, it's time to move on. Folks, there is more to enjoy. There is more to learn. There is more of God to experience. You've got to learn that you can't get happy or can't get satisfied with where you've been. But that you want to get up every morning and say, God, I want to move on. I want to move from where I've been to move into the place where you have prepared for me. Because the place you're in may not be the place that God has prepared for you. It might be a place that you just by default have found yourself in. But God has a perfect plan. I was praying for my 13th grandchild today. And she's in the womb of my eldest daughter. Or he. Did I say she? Maybe it's a girl. Ooh, glory. I just prophesied. Anyway. And I said, Lord, we haven't met her yet. We don't even know her yet. But your word says that you even knew her before she even got in the womb. I said, Jesus, tell me, what's she like? Could he do that? Could he tell us things that we don't know that he knows? Absolutely. And that's what David hungered for. But he knew it was in the presence of God. And it's time for us to make an advance. It's time for us to move on. You can't stay satisfied. You've got to move on in the things of God. Here's what the word advance means. It means to aid the growth or the progress. To aid the growth or the progress. You and I are growing in God. We are advancing in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you something. The earth is ready for the authentic. The earth is ready for the real. I don't know about these people who prophesied Jesus coming back at 6 o'clock on May 21st. I was having dinner. I was eating my food. I was like, oh my gosh, it's past 6. And the whole world is skeptical. The whole world is like, you guys are a bunch of nuts, fruitcakes, goofy. Wait a minute. That's why we've got to move on from what they've known in the past. And we need to present an emerging, growing, vibrant, spirit-filled church that loves the voice of God and follows His Spirit, that He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And look at this, you and I That's who we are. We are following that calling. Now, the last week we talked about how David was so frustrated when Uzza, his friend, was struck dead. He said, you know what? Get rid of this presence. Take it to Obed-Edom's house. Now, why did he pick Obed-Edom? I did a little research, and Josephus is one of the early church fathers. Here's what Josephus said about Obed-Edom when he went to 2 Samuel 6 and 11. He said that prior to the presence of God, Obed-Edom was a poor man. Obed-Edom was unknown. Prior to the Ark of the Covenant coming to him, he was under circumstances. Prior to the presence of God coming to him, nobody even knew his name. But this is what Josephus wrote. Listen to this, church. Are you ready? Listen to this. He said that Obed-Edom was poor before, in a low condition, but after the presence of God came to him, he emerged into an affluent circumstance on every side, so as to be taken notice of by his neighbors and the community and the world, and it was reported on every front and abroad. Let me tell you something. We're not playing church. We're in the presence of God, hungry for his glory, and I'm moving on. I don't know about you, but I know this. I may have come into this thing busted and disgusted. I may have come into this thing not really sure and confused and really not having enough. But boy, when I get the glory of God and the presence of God in my life, I'm going to be like Obed-Edom. One day nobody knows me, and the next day an emerging force and power in the whole earth. Not because of me, but because of him. It's time to move on. You're not stuck in that place. It's not God's plan for you to be under, but above and over. And you've got to get that mentality and not be satisfied with where you have been. Some of us have just relegated our life to that point of contact or that point of existence that we're barely getting by. Some good days, some bad days. Sometimes we say, well, I got more good days than I got bad days. Today I got more bad days than I got good days. Listen, those days are over. We are moving on from that. Is it possible that a believer can have a good day every day? Shout me down. Come on. Amen. How do you know that? Because when God created the day, he said it was good. Who you calling bad? What God called good. Listen, the devil's got to get it straight. This isn't a bad day. I'm not having a difficult time. I'm having an anointed moment. I'm having a good day. I'm going to look for the good. If I got to get a microscope out, I'm going to find it because God said it was good. And I know that if God is for me, you better back up and get out of my way because I'm about to have an advance, a breakthrough day, a day of victory, a day of going over. Not under. Well, last week we talked about how David tried to bring the presence of God into Jerusalem. He had a couple of problems, a couple of missteps. Number one, he was trying to adopt the Philistine philosophy and put it in the church. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of that. I don't really need the world to tell me how to serve him. I really don't need to kind of organize it so everybody is happy. You know, I like this. Someone said the other day to me, I think it was Pat. She said, you know what? I'm done with church drama. Let me just tell you, church drama, I'm over it. You say, well, Pastor, I got to tell you what she said. I said, look, tell it to the hand because I ain't listening. All that is an interruption in my presence and my worship to Jesus. I ain't got time. I ain't got time to stop praising and twirling to listen to your junk. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm moving on. I'm moving on, baby. Come on. This Philistine philosophy that says you got to pacify the people. You know, we are getting so fat on glazed donuts and cappuccinos. Before you know it, we'll have drive-by church. You just pull up and we'll shoot you out a CD. Or better yet, just stay home and we'll download the message. We're trying to make it so easy for people. But let me tell you something. There is a group of people, and I know I'm having church with them this morning. that just hunger. You see, this is, can I announce, this is not a museum. This isn't an art show. This isn't a circus. I don't know, Pastor. It looked like a circus to me this morning during worship. This is not something you pay to get in and visit and then go home. Let me tell you something. There is a group of people on the earth that do not want to just visit God. They want to hang out with Him. They want to live in the presence of God. It's sort of like living in the museum and watch all that stuff come alive. Hallelujah. I don't want to go to a church where everything's just standing there. You know, it's just a statue. It's just marble. It looks great, but it doesn't move. I can't listen to preaching when they don't move. How do you stand there and not move? I mean, I try to stand here. I mean, all right, I'm going to try and do it for the rest of the sermon. It's going to be real hard. I'm going to try. You aren't offended, are you? Okay. See, I can't even talk. It's like I can't talk with my hands down. And I'm not even Italiano, huh? I can't. Hey. You can't adopt the Philistine philosophy in the church. We can't adopt a philosophy that says all you want to do is visit God on Sunday for a few hours or an hour or 20 minutes or whatever it is. This isn't a little dab of do-ya. Brill cream is gone, man. We don't even sell it. The kingdom of God is moving on and it's looking for people that want to camp out with Him, that are hungry for His glory and that will not be satisfied with anything less. They can't go to a church and if they're not moved, if the worship doesn't move me, if I don't have a tear in my eye, if I'm not feeling the fluttering of God's presence in my belly, if I'm not feeling compassion or being moved by the love of God, see, I can't do it. I've got to go somewhere. Forget it. I've got to go somewhere where I feel and sense the glory of the living God. And I don't know about you, but we ought to just thank God for His glory right now. Come on. Let's thank God for His glory right now. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord, for your glory. This isn't a church where we're trying to take control and we're not leading God around by a ring in His nose and telling Him what He's going to do. He's still the sovereign God. He's still a God that created the heavens and the earth. Look at somebody and say, guess what? You're not God. God is God all by Himself. Listen, I don't know where we thought that we were God. I don't know where preachers thought they were God. I don't know where denominations thought they were the headquarters of heaven. Thank God something's changing, Danny. Where are you? Thank God something's moving on the earth. We're busting up camp. We're moving out just with the glory of God. There's an advance. And Ohio was out there leading the whole thing, driving God. You know, this is not what the Lord wants. And then Usa, poor Usa. Not poor Usa, bad Usa. That's why I got the title for this sermon, Death and a Dance. Usa died. And he represents a generation. He represents a people. He represents a church age. It's got to die. He was a Kohathite. He said, a what? He was a Kohathite. That was part of the Levites, appointed by Moses. To do what? To set up the tabernacle and to tear down the tabernacle. That's what he did. That was his job, Al. He went to work. He put the tabernacle together. When God moved, he said, okay, we got to move and take this thing down. He took it down, put it up on his shoulder, carried it according to the prescribed plan that God gave Moses. When God's glory stopped, they put it back up, got out of the way, and God inhabited the tabernacle again. That was his job. He was a Kohathite. Isn't it amazing what happens to people when you're in church or around church long enough? We get what we call familiar. Been there, worshiping, been there, altar call, Been there. You can't preach me to me. Been there. I know the word. Been there. But the problem is we become too familiar with God. Uzzah thought his hand was not polluted like everybody else's hand. He became familiar. He had touched the tabernacle articles many times. He'd been around it. He lost reverence for God. And when the oxen stumbled, he took out his familiarity and he tried to hold God up. Let me tell you something. You can't take hold of God. God wants to take hold of you. You know, God doesn't like church services when we take hold of him. He said, let me take hold of you. If I get a hold of you, that's what my mother used to say, when I get a hold of you. And she did too. She was only 5'2". She whooped me. She would whoop me with a yardstick. I'm 6'4" and she's grabbing hold of me. She's whipping me, and you know how she talks. Don't you ever do that again. And I'm running from her. She said, come back here. If I get a hold of you, I'm going to whip you. I said, that's why I'm running. Some of us have been afraid to let God get a hold of us. We just want to run away. If I keep in front of God, then he can't touch me. And I'll only come in and touch him when I need him. Listen, those days are over. When Uzzah died, David was so despairing. He was so perplexed. He threw his hands up in the air and he said, who could bring up the presence of God? Uzzah's my friend. Now he's dead. God said, now I can do it. You know what David did? He stopped the parade. When are we going to stop the church parade? When are we going to stop the church processionals? When are we going to stop the church traditions that nullify the word of God? When are we going to stop it? When is somebody like a David going to stand up and say, enough of that mess? Don't go another step further. I've got to have the glory. I've got to have the truth. I've got to have Jesus. I can't do this without his presence. I can't do this without his glory. Stop the madness. And David stopped it. And the presence of God went to Obed-Edom's house. And it transformed him. Let me tell you something. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I'm telling you right now, if you just invite the presence of God into your life, not just on Sunday morning for an hour and 30 minutes, not just for a Wednesday night, or not just for an occasional visit to God, like you visit the ballpark and Progressive Field, or go down and see the Cavaliers play, or you visit mom, or you visit cousin so-and-so, or you go on vacation and spend a week, and suddenly you feel like you live there. Now your week's up, and you got to get out because somebody else is taking your room. We just move in, and we move out. We come in, and we move out. And God said, no, I don't want you to do that. The whole tabernacle experience was an opportunity for God to teach the people, listen, I want to camp out with you. When I move, you move. And if I don't move, you stay put. I'm going to be your covering. I'm going to be your intimate friend. And finally, there was a death. And now, they were getting set up for the dance. Look at Psalm 30. I think it's verse 15, if you could put it up on the screen. Now, Ron Canole did not write this scripture. Some of you that have been around the church for a while, you know Ron Canole. He came out with this worship song, and he sang, you've turned my mourning into dancing again. You've lifted my sorrow. You remember that song? How come you're not singing? I was walking around church this morning up and down during the worship service. I came to these four husky young men, man. They were like athletes, cut, ripped. They're just standing there, trying to be cool. And we were singing, show me your glory. And I walked up to them. I said, man, why aren't you singing? And three of them looked at me like, ain't none of your business. And the other one said, show me your glory. He started singing with me. Okay, let's try this again. Ready? Words are up on the screen. Follow the bouncing ball. All right, one, two, three, go. You've turned my morning into dancing again. You've lifted my sorrow. I can't stay silent.
I must sing
all your glory. Well, we kind of went. That's okay. Ron Canole didn't write that. The Holy Ghost did. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to turn your death, your dying to self, getting rid of that pride, getting rid of that religiosity, getting rid of all of that mentality, that organization, you being in control, you leading God, bringing in Manhattan ideas into the church. Listen to me. God said this, I'm going to kill that stuff. I'm going to kill it, and I'm going to kill it good. But when I kill it, I'm going to turn your mourning into dancing. And I'm going to turn that sackcloth, and I'm going to clothe you with something that is vital. What does it say? Clothe you with what?
Linen.
Say it again.
Linen.
That's the problem. Most of the church is clothed with sadness and not gladness. Gladness is the key. And as I was studying this, I said, Lord, there have been times in my life where I've lost my gladness. I'm not glad about the word. I'm not glad about your presence. I'm not even glad about going to church. I'm like sad about going to church. I'm sad over the drama in the church. I'm sad over this and that. God, I need my gladness back. The loss of gladness is the first sign of a hardened heart. And David tried to do a right thing the wrong way. It wasn't so much as having Usa touch it or Ahio and those guys leading it and him putting it on an ox cart, and all that was wrong. But here's the problem. David was trying to bring the presence of God into his life without gladness. It was ritual. It was religion. There was no personal joy in it. It was just church. I remember when I was first saved, we sang this song every Sunday. It was a time when we used to have a song leader, and they used to take their hand and do this. Ready? Two, three, four. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will, one, two, three, one, two, praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. You know, I said, man, I want to learn how to do that. And we used to follow him. And I was a new convert. I'm going, I'm trying to get that down. That's cool, man. How do you do that? Then I learned there was a 3-beat. Then there was a 2-beat. And I learned there was a 4-beat. And I was like really messed up. But the last part of that song says this. He has made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me. And this is where you take your hand. Wait. Don't get ahead of me. This is my sermon. You know, you guys are getting a little feisty in here. Trying to take over the preacher's sermon, man. Okay. When we get to that. I had a little bit to drink this morning. Yeah, I know. No, I had a lot to drink. Not tequila, tahila. It's a Hebrew word for praise. And it'll make you crazy. Anyway, come on, ready? Put your hand up. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Stop. Why are some of you still sad? Some of you aren't raising your hand. You're sitting back there like, I ain't raising my hand. I'll come back there and I'll raise it for you. No, I will send Pastor Tossie. He will make you raise your hand. Come on, ready? He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Now do it like the young people. I will rejoice for you. Made me glad. Come on. He hath made me glad. Woo! He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Don't you feel better? I feel better. David got his gladness back. He got his gladness back. And when he got his gladness back in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 12, that's when he was ready to bring the presence back. Look. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. The missing ingredient the first time. You go to some churches, and I swear they're the most depressed people in the earth. They come in, they're like, hi, hi. But they don't even talk. They just walk by you. And they sit down. They say, I don't even know what I'm doing here. My life's a mess. God is not even real. It ain't going to happen. I hate her. You know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They lost their gladness. They lost their laugh. They've lost their happiness. They lost their joy. And David finally got gladness. And when he got gladness back, he was ready to go get the presence of God. So he goes up to Obed-Edom's house and he says, look, dude, you're now famous because of the presence of God. I'm taking the presence. I want the presence of God. So he gets the Ark of the Covenant and he does something in verse 13. If you can put it up on the screen, watch this. This is a really good scripture. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 13. And so it was when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. See, David finally got it right. He did it the way God wanted him to, and not the way everybody else wanted him to. You know, I've always told people, tolerance in worship. Listen, I don't have to worship like you to be anointed. Or the way the house does it. You know, listen, I'm like a worshiper of my own self. Right? I don't have to be you. And guess what? You don't have to be me. I jump, I move, I shout, I love to do that. But you like to sit there and you're just like, I love you, Jesus, with all my heart. That's cool. I won't make you shout. Just don't make me sit there and weep like you. I don't want to weep. But it's okay. You're a weeper? Weep. I'm a jumper and a shouter? Let me jump and shout. I won't step on you. You don't get me wet with your tears, okay? So he says what? He went 6 paces. Isn't that powerful? Why does the Bible say 6 paces? Watch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, stop. And David stopped. What would make him stop? 6 is the number of man. And David had to come to an end of himself before he could take another step, bringing in the presence of God in his life. You and I need the presence of God in our marriages. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have differences of opinion. But isn't it good that you don't have to go to a counselor somewhere with a placard outside that says marriage counseling? That when you've gone 6 steps and you enter into the sacrificial mode with gladness, that the presence of God is right there in the middle of your argument, and you look over to each other and you say, Holy Ghost is here right now. You better be quiet. We need the presence of God raising our children. We need the presence of God in our business. We need the presence of God in our going in and our coming out, our rising up and our lying down. I don't know about you, but we need the presence of God in the middle of the night. Sometimes the night is scary. The devil comes and he tries to haunt and he tries to deceive. And we need the glory of God. And he sacrificed. Without sacrifice, there is no presence. Without sacrifice, there is no 7th step. The 7th step is symbolic for God. He stepped into divine presence, but he did it on the heels of sacrifice. That's why today so much of the church has a problem with giving. 80% of the church is still sad. They put their $2.50 in the offering bag and they watch it go down the aisle. And they're weeping over it. My $2! That's because they're still, they're not dead yet. You visit church. You get mad at offerings. But people who have died, people that are full of gladness, they're like, are we going to take an offering for that? Can I give? Have you ever seen people preaching? It didn't happen in here. I'm not telling you this because I want you to do it. So don't do it. Because if the Spirit of God tells you to do it, you can do it. But don't do it because I'm telling you. Because some people just manipulate other people. And I'm not a manipulator. But anyway, preachers are preaching. You ever see them? People get their money out while they're preaching. Yeah. You ever see that? They throw it up there. Yeah. They're like, oh, preach, pastor. Here's a whole dollar bill. That's good. That's good. Preach that thing. Preach that thing, preacher. Like, that's going to make me preach better because you threw a George Washington at me. Come on. Get a Jefferson out or something. Have you ever seen that? Or the preacher's preaching, and he's acting like he doesn't have it in his hand. It's so cool. Chuck, do me a favor. Just hand me this and put it in my hand, okay? I want you to. And the Lord said, come on, give it to me. God wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to know that he's doing everything he can to be a blessing to you right now. Now, we all saw that. You acted like we didn't see that. We saw that. Some of you don't watch Christian TV, do you? You laughing because you must be watching it. Now, I can't even remember why I was telling you that. Huh? Sacrifice, yeah. Offering time comes and people tighten up. I want to talk about the preacher, man. You see that car he drives? You see them new clothes he has? I heard he went to Hawaii for vacation. I wonder who paid for that. You know, it's like, are you serious? That's because you're still a Kohathite. Familiar with the presence of God. Haven't died to self. Money moves you. And ministry has no impact. But David came to the end of himself. 6, the number of man. 7, the number of God. And he walked into the presence of God on the hills of sacrifice. Do you know that he was suspended between heaven and earth? Have you heard that he shed his blood for you and for you and for me? Did you know that he was dead and buried, but on the 3rd day rose again? And ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Did you hear it? Did you know it? Sacrifice. Church, David sacrificed. And it tells us that once he did that, they began to make progress. In verse 17, there's a predetermined place that God has for you and me. And in verse 17, it says, they brought the ark of the Lord and put it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle. I gotta hurry. In the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Did you know that David set up a place for the presence of God before he even got the presence of God? He made a place for God to show up and to show out before he even got the presence of God. He said, I know I'm gonna bring me back some Jesus. You know, sometimes I leave here, I can't hardly drive. I leave Lorraine to come here, I'm like, I'm going to get arrested. I'm driving like, whoo, Jesus, that was good. Woo. The presence of God. Power of God. The reality of God. And it tells us that he presented a place for him. This is where Acts 15 comes in. Put that scripture up. It's a quotation of Amos, where the promise comes to the New Testament church. And he says, after this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Everybody say, fallen down. Fallen down. Stop the progression. Doing the right thing the wrong way. We got to redo church. David set up a tabernacle. It didn't have an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies. That was on Mount Gilboa. Did you know they were still offering sacrifices as David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem? They were going through church with no presence. There was no ark in the Holy of Holies? David had it. They did the morning sacrifice. They did the evening sacrifice. They sprinkled the blood. They went through all the ordinances, but no glory. So David sets up a tent. It's got like two flaps. You open up the two flaps, boom, there he is, the presence of God. No outer court, no inner court, just the glory of God. And you open up the tent, boom, there's God. Whoo, hey, God. And they had singers 24 hours a day. Shifts. People come in and say, where are you going? I'm going to work. Where you get hired? Burger King? McDonald's? No, man, I got hired at David's Tabernacle. What do you do? I praise Jesus. Can you imagine that? 24 hours a day, people just, oh, glory. Hallelujah. Got to walk it off, B. Got to walk it off, right? All right, I got you. I'm feeling you. And even that got to be ritualistic down the road. We can get into that, but I don't have time. They started wanting pay. They wanted the same uniforms as the priest. They felt insignificant, and it became a ritual. Why? Because they lost their gladness. They lost their gladness. And here's the whole summary of the matter. David's bringing back the presence of God. And if you read the scripture, he basically was in front leading the worship after the ark. I don't like preachers that don't praise. That makes me a little leery. You'd be too dignified standing there like. I don't know where they got this from. That is not praise. I do not read that in Psalm 95. Calf raise. David, he gets in front of the people. And if you read the Hebrew, he's doing this. That's what he's doing the whole way. Everybody's like, dude, what are you on? But that's not all. He took off his, I can't help it. He took off his kingly robe. And underneath was a linen ephod, the dress of a priest. First time, Bible does not mention David taking off his kingly robe. He kept it on. But he had something to prove. I gotta look good. I'm the king. I'm the man. I'm the bishop. I'm the priest. I'm the leader. I'm the pastor. Second time, David said, forget all that. That didn't work. I'm going to get crazy like y'all. He just took it off. And he began to worship God. And he's like praising God, you know, doing all this. And there's this chick. She's up in the window going, oh, my God. Is that the key? Her name was Michal, his wife, Saul's daughter. There's a whole lot of flesh that has birthed a whole lot of children that still disdain those that worship God with all their heart, soul, might, and their strength. I can feel it. Oh, David, isn't that something? No behavior for a king. And the Bible says she despised his worship. And David said, hey, girlfriend, let me tell you something. You think that was something? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm about to break out for Jesus. That's what she said. He said, I'm about to break out. And here's what happened. Here's what happened. This is the craziest thing. Give me a high five. All right. I just got to head it down. He looks at her. And just refuses to be intimidated. Let me just tell you something. If you love Jesus, more than people that you've been hanging with, watch out, because they are not going to like your worship. And the Bible says she was barren for life. Yeah, there's a whole lot of churches that are barren. Yeah. I don't want to go, you know, I'm like, this is official notice. I'm done with church drama. It's official notice. Official notice. Pastor Kayton don't care. Drunk man don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, but you know what she said?
I don't care. Yeah, but she gonna leave church. Don't care about that either. You ought to care. They're a big giver. Don't care about money. What's the matter with you? Don't you care about nothing? Yeah, give me another drink. Now, I'm just drawing an analogy. An alcoholic don't care about nothing but the next drink. In the spiritual, we are way too interested and concerned about stuff that can't do a thing for you. And it's time we start seeking the one that can change you, raise you, heal you, deliver you, turn you around, put your feet up on solid ground. I'm telling you, God is in the house. And I just want you to know that we're going to go to church. So, I don't know where you all praises are at. Hope you didn't leave to go to Burger King and get a coffee. Come on back, because I want to hear that heaven song again. How many know that heaven is in the house? Amen. I know that heaven is in the house. So come on up, praisers, because God wants to do something in you and in me. And I never want us to be a worshipless church. You know where people are drawn? People are drawn to a place where God is out front leading. So I say, ride on, King Jesus. Lead on, Jesus. I want you to be the shepherd and I'm going to be a sheep. I'm tired of trying to take over. I'm tired of trying to lead you. I'm tired, oh God, of trying to be that which I'm not. I'm looking, oh God, to you and you alone. So right now, right where you sit, maybe you can close your eyes for a minute and make a covenant with God. Make a recommitment to God. And say, Lord, I just want you. I just want you in my life. I've got to have you. I want to be an unadulterated, uncompromised worshiper of God. I want to go to the end of myself. I want to take the 6 steps. I want to sacrifice. I want to go back to Golgotha. I want to thank you for the blood. I want to thank you for forgiveness. I want to thank you for the new life that you've given me. Now, Lord God, I pray that you would cause this house, raise up this house, that we would be an example of those that believe, that, Father, when people come into this place, they would take off what's been constraining the real them. Now, that's a word for somebody, because there's something that's been on you that you have been unwilling to take off that's hiding the real you underneath. It was David's kingly robe. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a past hurt. Maybe it's an expectation that wasn't met by an ex or by a friend or a co-worker. Maybe it's a disappointment. Maybe it's a failure. I've got a word for you. Just because you failed at something the first time doesn't disqualify you from this second time. David failed the first time, but God came to him and said, David, let's do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. So I want to invite you to be a worshiper. I want to invite you to just begin to praise him. Don't you hold back. Don't you disqualify yourself, because God is able and he is willing. Come on. Come on, Daddy. Come on. Lead us in worship. Come on. Lead us in worship. Come on. Stand up. Come on. Stand up. Come on. Let's wave and praise on the Lord. Oh.
His anointing is empowering. The Spirit of the Lord is within me, and He's calling me to the heavenly. Say, oh,
seated heavenly,
heaven, heaven, heaven,
His favor and grace,
heaven,
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 heaven, heaven,
heaven,
heaven,
heaven,
heaven, heaven, something's moving.
Something's moving.
Glory.
like Jesus to change a life. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and all you've known is a church or religion, but you've never met the living Christ, the God that speaks and moves and acts on your behalf, that has your good in his mind and not your evil, that has a plan for your building up and not your destruction. Today you can meet him. You can meet him today. You can surrender your life to him. And I guarantee you, you'll never be the same. But you've got to come to an end of yourself. The death and then the dance. Got to get your groove back. Right? So altar ministers, would you be so kind to join me across the front? You say, Pastor, it's an amazing grace, isn't it? That once I was lost, once I was blind, and now I can see. Once I was lame, but now I can walk. It's the mercy of Jesus. You say, Pastor, I need prayer. Maybe you're already born again, but you just want to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you have another spiritual need, whatever it is. But before you go that way, why don't you come this way? Heaven on earth, God is waiting for you. Maybe you can look at the person next to you and say, look, do you have a prayer need? Do you need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I'll go with you. And take him by the hand gently and say, come on, let's go. And let's just believe God that he'll do a miracle in their life. We're going to receive our evening, our morning. What day is it? Morning. Tithe and offering at the door today. So if you brought your offering, your giving, thank you for your generosity. Glad people give. I don't have to talk you into it. So the ushers will have the bags. And if you're making a check, just make it to CNC. Thank you for helping us do what we do. There's no way we could do it without you. But if you need that prayer, come. Come right now. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time right here. God bless you. We love you.